Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Senate has voted 56-44 to proceed with the impeachment of President Trump. Impeachment manager Representative Jamie Raskin.
The sound of pounding on the door like a battering ram. It's the most haunting sound I ever heard, and I will never forget it.
Trump attorney David Schoen.
Grave concern for the danger to the institution of the presidency that I believe even convening these proceedings indicates. The joy I believed I would feel if I ever had the great privilege of appearing before this body is replaced by sadness and pain.
After President Biden destroyed thousands of jobs within minutes of his presidency with the stroke of a pen, Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, is urging President Biden to reverse course on the Keystone XL pipeline. In a new letter to the president sent Tuesday, Manchin argued that the pipeline is the safest mode to transport our oil and natural gas resources and support American union jobs. USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Will the COVID-19 vaccine shot become an every-year normality? USA Radio News' Dan Araki reports.
Community health centers will begin to get doses of coronavirus vaccine, the White House announced on Tuesday, as CVS and Walgreens pharmacies begin to administer shots later this week. Johnson & Johnson CEO Alex Gorsky believes a trip to the pharmacy for a COVID shot may be a thing for several more years. He tells CNBC that a yearly vaccine, much like the flu shot, may be necessary.
I think most people feel that this will be something where likely for the, yes, the next several years, we'll be getting a COVID-19 shot just like we would a flu shot. Now, exactly what that shot's going to be comprised of, I don't think we know today, but I think we could all imagine a future where we're living with this, but where we can keep the science, at pace with the virus so that we can keep on living our lives.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
USA Radio News.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Although House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has no idea how much the first failed impeachment of President Trump cost taxpayers, conservative estimates put the number at $32 million. And here we go again. How much treasure and waste of time when other pressing issues are paramount will the government spend for a second impeachment trial? USA Radio News' Dan Araki has more.
Arguments will continue Wednesday in former President Trump's second impeachment trial, with each side being given 16 hours to make their case. Senator Ted Cruz says the week will be nothing more than political theater. The Texas Republican tells Fox News that every senator knows the trial will end in acquittal, but Democrats remain focused on President Trump instead of the issues facing the nation.
It is going to end with the president being acquitted. In order for the president to be convicted, it takes 67 votes in the U.S. Senate. That's not going to happen. It's not going to get 67 votes. It's not going to get close to 67 votes. Every one of the 100 senators knows that. Every one of the House managers knows that. But this is political theater because rather than address the real problems, the real challenges we have in this country, rather than focus on getting kids back in school and getting tens of millions of Americans back to work, the Democrats want a week of just political theater raging at Donald Trump.
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
The Senate voted 56-44 to move forward with the impeachment. The Senate convenes at noon Eastern. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. 800-628-7226. That's 800-628-7226.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
You know, I'll say that if we are what we think, if we are what we read, if we are what we're exposed to, maybe the best thing during this Valentine's week that we need to do is step away from the boob tube. It's the reason it's called a boob tube. The influence it's had on us psychologically, how it has misserved the American people and the body politic, is more than questionable these days, and what's going on with an impeachment where we hear a lot of meanness and unkindness flying around. I don't know, it just seems to be quite ironic as we head into this Valentine's week, as I say, that we're not seeing a lot of love here, you know, from people who are talking about supposedly, you know, exampling kindness and civic responsibility. Well, as Valentine's Day approaches, let's take a look at the perfect contrast. You know, it's kind of like, you know, what the Apostle Paul had to say when he was given, you know, bad porridge. He says, well, give me the good porridge. I want some good porridge to balance out the bad porridge. And we've been filled with a lot of bad porridge for too long. And Jim Dennison is with us right now, the co-founder, visionary of the Dennison Forum, pastor, author, and podcaster. Jim, we need some good porridge here.
Bill, you're exactly right. That's well said, in fact. And once you know the good from the bad, then it's up to you to choose the good, right? And
right.
That's where a lot of us are right now. We need to make sure we're on the good lane, not on the bad lane.
Exactly. Well, you know, when it comes to love, the Bible has a lot to say about love, right?
It really does. In fact, it's got more to say about that than a lot of folk understand these days. You know, evangelicals, as you know so well, they'll kind of get the stereotypical of we're known for what we're against more than what we're for. Well, we need to change that narrative. We need to be out there saying to people, look, the Bible says God is love. The Bible says that God loves us absolutely and unconditionally. As Augustine said, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. If we'll be adopting that message and speaking the truth in love, we can be communicating to a fallen, broken culture why they so desperately need the God that we know.
Again, I want to reiterate and reinforce what you just said, that we need to be a people that talks more about what we're for than what we're against. So if we're going to be focused on what we're for, which are those good, noble things that we're told to think on, and to speak about, then we better have a pretty good idea of what it is, because the cultural downstream is a mess. I mean, the waters are so polluted here, Jim, and that's not to give people an escape or an excuse here, because we're individually responsible and accountable to God for the very thoughts that we think.
Absolutely true. And that's why the Holy Spirit can author in us the words of God, the wisdom of God, if we'll ask him to. Now, that's where I have my problem, Bill. I'm so self-sufficient. I so tend to want to work for God rather than work with God.
Right.
That's why Ephesians 5:18, every day being filled with the Spirit, being submitted to the Spirit, starting the day by getting off the throne, putting Jesus on the throne. Someone said, if you want to get along with God, stay off his throne. That's an everyday decision. And once we do that, the Spirit can speak in us and through us in the way that we so desperately need.
Well, I can relate with you very much on that. Not only every day, every moment. You know, because those times, you know, and I sit there, and one of the things I pray for is that, you know, that I would have godly ambition. That that God would center that ambition, and that it would not be a runaway train that the evil one could take advantage of.
Oh, that's exactly right. Back when my wife and I were first married in 1980, dinosaurs still roaming the earth, all of that, you know, and my grandfather came down to stay with us, and he bought me a power drill. He felt like every guy, you know, that is married needs a power drill, and so he went to Sears Craftsman, bought me a power drill that plugs into a wall. A lot of people hearing this conversation have no idea what I'm talking about, because battery-powered and all that, but that's my power drill. You plug it in the wall, and you turn it on. You wouldn't plug it in, turn it on, and then unplug it. You leave it plugged in so you continue to have the power it's made to need. Well, that's my problem. I either don't plug in at all, or I plug in first thing in the day. I kind of get alone with God. I let him empower me, and then I unplug the drill and go out into the day. And the drill's not much good unless it stays plugged in.
Speaking of your wife and your father, what was the best Valentine's gift you ever got?
Oh, isn't that a good question? At one point, we'd only been married a couple years. We got married in 1980. I had a 1966 Ford Mustang, best vehicle Ford's ever made. I'm willing to defend that thesis. It, however, did not have an appropriate radio. And one year for Valentine's Day, my wife took my car, brought it down to the shop, and got a new radio installed that actually had a cassette player in it, if you can imagine.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I remember
those. And did something she knew that I would love without seeking, just doing it on a proactive, intentional, thoughtful way. And I still remember that gift to this day.
Wow, that's cool. All right, the other side, what was the best Valentine's gift you gave to your wife?
Oh, I think that might have been something recent. Thank you for asking me that.
Yeah.
Janet is amazing. I mean, I so overmarried, Bill. I mean, there's people tell me I outkicked my coverage, and I have absolutely no defense for that, none whatsoever. So anything I give is not enough. No matter what I do, it needs to be more than that. But a few years ago, I arranged for us to have a special trip that she knew nothing about. She's really hard to surprise. She's so smart, so aware of things, but I arranged a special kind of overnight thing to a place that I knew she would want to be, doing some things that only she would want to do, and I made all the arrangements and didn't tell her until we did it, kind of kidnapped her and brought her into that experience. And she still remembers that, not so much from the experience as much as the fact that I forethought it on that level, that I had that level of initiative, and I think that's maybe what mattered the most, is I don't do enough to have that kind of initiative, to have that kind of forethinking. How could I most bless her just to bless her? I think that's the key.
Well, and I think that's good counsel, you know, for all of us as we head into this day, because sometimes Valentine's Day can be, just bring with it an enormous amount of pressure, unmet expectations, a challenge to exceed expectations and all that. But again, that's where where the Bible gives this balance about love, and what it's all about is that if we're looking to meet expectations, then we've kind of veered off the path to really enjoy the kind of love that God has, you know, wants for, you know, all marriages and for his creation.
Well, that's so well said. Really, there's to be an unconditional agape love. That's how God loves us. God loves us not because we're worthy of being loved, but because he is love. He obviously initiated that love on the cross. He initiates it every single day. And now what he wants me to do is experience that love so much that I can share that love with Janet or with you or with whomever I'm conversing or communicating at that point. I can't give what I don't have. And so I can't love my wife unless I experience the love from God that I can give her. That's my first responsibility, is to love God so I can love her.
And, you know, in that point, you can't give what you don't have. We're also reminded that we were made in God's image. And if God is love, then that image, that imprint of love is in our DNA, is it not?
That's so well said. By being made in God's image, by being made in his likeness, even though we're fallen people, we still have that capacity to experience and to share God's love. That's why Jesus commanded us to love our neighbor as ourselves. I'll tell you, there are a lot of days you wouldn't want to be my neighbor if I was loving you the way I love myself, the way I'm so hard on myself, the way I'm so angry with myself, the way I'm, I have such expectations and such frustrations with myself. I've got to get out of that and see how unconditionally God loves me just because he is love. His character requires him to love me. And when I see that unconditional experience for me, then I can relax in that love.
More from Jim Dennison after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Listening to Bill Martinez live. Your program, your calls, your
opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You know, as we enjoy Valentine's Week here at the Bill Martinez Show, you know, that's a great lyric. And I think that that, Jim Dennison, I think that that's what, you know, our wives, our husbands, you know, want to hear, that there just is not a mountain high enough that's going to keep me from you, that I am still, no matter what, I'm going to pursue you, because in a way, I mean, that's what God does, right? I mean, he pursues us no matter how prodigalized we may have become. He says, hey, look it, I want you to know the deal's not over.
Genesis 3 to today. He's coming after us. He's looking for us. He's pursuing us. I love this phrase in Psalm 23 that says, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. I can't see what's behind me. I can't see what's following me, but that makes it no less real.
Exactly.
There are days I can't see God, days I can't feel God, but he sees me. He feels me. I can't see him, but he sees me. He's pursuing me, and he wants me to love my wife the same way he loves me.
Mm-hmm. Well, Valentine's Day, named after, you know, St. Valentine himself. What was it about St. Valentine that, you know, personifies love and we honor today and thank him for, except, you know, for those nights that we can't seem to get a reservation and we've messed up, you know. But what, outside of that, what is it? What was it about St. Valentine?
Well, he could even be a patron saint for that, I suppose. So
exactly.
We don't really know the story as well as we wish we did, but here's kind of what we think we know. Back in the 3rd century, AD 270, there's this terrible emperor, Claudius II, known as Claudius the Cruel. He forbids marriage among his soldiers because he wants them to be focused on their military work. So there's this priest named Valentine who marries soldiers confidentially, privately. He gets found out. He gets eventually tried and executed, probably on February 14th, AD 270. Now, there was another Valentine at that point in time in Italy as well, and maybe two of them, or maybe the stories come together. Nonetheless, 469, the Pope at the time makes February 14th. The feast day for St. Valentine. But it's not a romantic thing. For that, you got to go to 1375, and Chaucer, who wrote Canterbury's Tale, he wrote a poem connecting romantic love to Valentine, St. Valentine, and that's when that connection happens. But the last date you really need to know is 1913, because that's when Hallmark Cards in Kansas City, Missouri, first started mass-producing Valentines. And the rest, as they say, is history.
And in doing such a thing, they identified love, you know, and they really limited the identification of love, because we've
it
gone
really
from
did.
Agape love to now, you know, the human idea of love, right?
That's exactly right. We've commercialized love. We've made love a marketable commodity rather than making it an unconditional commitment, which
yes.
is what Jesus intended and what he offers us today.
Well, I would say that would be my prayer, you know, for all of us this Valentine's Day, that we would, you know, realize what love, what God's love, what God says in the Bible about his love and the imprint that he's put on us and the kind of love that we would share, that we would all rise. And I can understand and appreciate in some, you know, marriages today in light of COVID and the tension and all that's been going on. But can we just, you know, cause a, you know, some sort of peace pact to occur? And maybe the hardness of our hearts would soften to such a degree and allow the Holy Spirit to light upon your hardened heart. Because hardened hearts, you know, they're not serving you and they're not serving the one that you've promised, you know, to be with till death do you part.
That's right, and that's where the Lord can step in and heart and soften any heart. He can heal any relationship. He can step into any broken spirit, and he can renew that and make it new. It may not be a better marriage. It may be a new marriage.
Mm-hmm.
May not be just a better relationship, but a new relationship. If both partners are willing to submit fully, unconditionally to the Lord and do what he calls them to do, there's a principle in marriage counseling I followed over the years as a pastor, and that is to act into feeling rather than feel into acting. a couple would come sit down and say, we don't feel like we love each other anymore. And I would say, well, what would you do if you did? How would you act if you did? Act that way, and the feelings may follow the actions. Don't wait on the feeling. Act in an unconditional expression. Don't wait on the other person. Take the initiative to act in an unconditional way, and the feelings may follow on the other side of that.
And I'm sure you heard testimonies where people came and said, you know, we didn't believe you when you said this, and we tried it, and doggone if it didn't work.
Absolutely. In fact, a real good point of marriage counseling I learned over the years, make a list of things you're going to choose to forgive.
Yes.
Just make a list, and then every time the other person does something on that list, just say, look, that's on the list.
Yes.
I've chosen to forgive that. I've chosen to look past that. I've chosen to move beyond that. And I'm going to act as though that didn't happen or as though that doesn't matter. Make that decision on both sides and choose to act unconditionally, and you'll experience unconditional love.
Well, Ted, that's, you know, what you just touched on is so critical in relationships, is that forgiveness issue. You know, you can talk about it, but in doing it, you know, it goes back to what we talked about earlier, is having that moment-to-moment connection. You know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, for me, the full armor of God is so important, because the shield of faith, right? Shield of faith puts out those fiery darts, because the fiery darts are going to come at you, and especially in marriages. You know, Solomon talks about the little foxes. Well, sometimes those little foxes have fiery tails that come at you too, right?
Absolutely. You got to know, Satan hates marriage. He hates whatever God loves.
Right.
And marriage was God's idea. God invented marriage. He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that. Jesus' first miracle was to bless a wedding, not to raise the dead or walk on water, but to bless a wedding. God loves marriages. God loves love. And so you know the enemy's going to attack that. Prepare for that. Expect that. Don't be surprised when it happens. Start every day by submitting to God, asking for the power of God to love the person God has given you, and then in turn expect God to work through you.
You know, amazing that God created marriage, and then Jesus tells us that, hey, when we get to heaven, you know, marriage will be non-existent. And I say, oh, yeah, great idea. You give us marriage to deal with down here on earth, and in heaven you go, hey, man, this is a marriage-free zone. We're not going to have all this contention going on up here in the home of peace and love, you know.
It'll be even better. It's a marriage feast of the Lamb, even better.
Yes, amen. Amen. It's only just, you know, I may get burned at the stake. So if you come by and you see me, you know, cooking at the edges, is it, oh, Martinez, I told you not to ask God that question. Why did you ask him that question?
I think you're going to be okay, Bill.
I think he
loves you just like he loves us.
Amen.
And I'm grateful.
Well, look, it's, you know, with Valentine's Day, we want this to be the best Valentine's Day ever. And I, your counsel about writing down the things that you've forgiven, that's good counsel, and that's wisdom that I think that we can all benefit from. And, you know, I pray that, you know, if it's, especially in the era of COVID, maybe getting a dinner reservation may not be the place. Maybe it's a picnic basket that just the two of you get away on and enjoy and really are blessed and feel the fullness of God's love and God's intention for love that he has for us on this Valentine's Day, right?
Absolutely. It may not be so much what we do as why we do it.
Yes.
And if we do it in a spirit of unconditional love and gratitude for the other person and the gift of that relationship, that's what will last long past the gift itself.
Amen. Well, you know, it's this is a time, and it should be a glorious time. Even, and that's why I say you got to walk away from the TV and all these other distractions that are, you know, taking you off. Because I think that the filter that we need to have here, Jim, is one: does it add or take away from the idea of love? I mean, as we pause and consider, you know, Valentine's Day week and, you know, Valentine's Day moments, and saying, look, we want to be, you know, plugged into God and do those things that are consistent. Then I would, and I think you would agree, is that make it a point to pull out some specific, you know, Bible verses this week that speak of God's love. And God will fill you with that love, because, like you said, you can't share what you don't have. And we all need an infilling of God's love. And this is a good reminder this Valentine's Day. And I think we can be thankful for that, right?
We're all grateful. Grateful to be loved and therefore to be able to give what we've received.
Well, Jim Dennison, you're awesome. I just so appreciate your heart, and I'm grateful that you're able to come on the show on a regular basis. I look forward to this every week. He is the co-founder, visionary of the Dennison Forum, pastor, author, and podcaster. Dr. Jim Dennison has been our guest. Jim, God bless you. Happy Valentine's Day to you and Janet. Pray it be the best Valentine's Day ever. Okay, take care.
Thank you, and you as well.
God bless.
This report is brought to you by Chase. Chase's new Consumer Digital Banking Attitude Study found that 54% of consumers used digital banking tools more than they did a year ago due to the pandemic. The study also found that consumers of all ages said that these tools save time and are a safe and easy way to manage their finances from anywhere. Fraud alerts, electronic bill payments, and mobile check deposits are the most important digital banking features, according to surveyed Chase customers. According to Allison Beer, head of digital at Chase,
the pandemic has demonstrated that digital banking is essential for all customers to confidently manage their finances. Our study reaffirms our commitment to create features that make it easier for customers to bank with Chase.
Digital banking tools like the Chase mobile app or Chase.com can help you make the most of your money. For more information, visit Chase.com/mobile.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Senate has voted 56-44 to proceed with the impeachment of President Trump. Impeachment manager Representative Jamie Raskin.
The sound of pounding on the door like a battering ram. The most haunting sound I ever heard, and I will never forget it.
Trump attorney David Schoen.
Grave concern for the danger to the institution of the presidency that I believe even convening these proceedings indicates. The joy I believed I would feel if I ever had the great privilege of appearing before this body is replaced by sadness and pain.
After President Biden destroyed thousands of jobs within minutes of his presidency with the stroke of a pen, Senator Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, is urging President Biden to reverse course on the Keystone XL pipeline. In a new letter to the president sent Tuesday, Manchin argued that the pipeline is the safest mode to transport our oil and natural gas resources and support American union jobs. USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is Jonathan Cahn. 232 years ago, in the first ever presidential inauguration, the nation's first president addressed a jubilant multitude and a nation that was united in shared values and a common hope in America's future. In that first ever presidential address, George Washington gave the newborn nation a prophetic warning. He said this, "The propitious smiles of heaven cannot be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right that heaven itself has ordained." In other words, if America followed the ways of God, his eternal rules of order and right, the blessings of God would remain upon it. But if America should ever depart from the ways of God, then his blessings would be removed from the land.
We're back with the America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Jonathan Kahn, the best-selling author of the book Harbinger 2, is with us right now. And as you just heard, a very important message and warning to America. Jonathan, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Great to be with you, Bill, as always.
Well, this message to Joe Biden, to the country, is quite the warning, Jonathan.
Yeah, I was, you know, Bill, at every, the last presidential inaugural prayer breakfast, I've been asked to speak, and this year it was basically canceled, it was virtual, so we decided to put a word, you know, put the word on the web, and this is just recently, you know, and I always seek to, you know, to give a word for the hour and the moment in America and the president. So I did. It was called, we posted something like prophetic, John Legon prophetic message to Joe Biden, and with the first day, we never had this quickly. It broke 500,000 views. The second day, it broke 1 million. And then something strange happened that we started, when we started searching for it, it was gone. I mean, it was as if it never existed on the web, on Google. And what had happened is it's called shadow banning. And that is that where they basically ban, you know, they can ban, you know, speech, they can ban believers. And you don't know what necessarily is happening because it was still on our YouTube, but if you tried to get it by knowing the title, it didn't matter, you wouldn't get it. And this is something very important for the future. We're in a whole new time. Yet, at the same time, other people had already reposted it, so other things did come up, and so people managed, and, you know, like now it's like a week later or something, and it's over 2 million views. So it just, you know, we are in a very, a new era right now, and we have to be actually stronger because the gospel is really at stake. This is free speech and all these things. So it was a prophetic message, but we never had this happen before. So it's telling us we're in a new day.
Jonathan, as I've been sharing with our audience, God gives us prophecy to warn us and to validate his sovereignty. And we have already realized that at least two-thirds of God's prophecy has been fulfilled, 1,000%. I often say, what do you think the chances are that the remaining third will be fulfilled at the same rate?
Yeah. Well, that's actually what, Bill, that's what led me to become a believer. I was raised in a Jewish home and synagogue and the whole thing. And when I was 8, I became an atheist. But what changed me was picking up a book that was called The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, bestseller in the 70s, all about biblical prophecy coming true. And I was an atheist. I said, I can't argue with this. There's no way on earth. How, you know, the only book in the world that does this is the Bible, that predicts human events, prophesies it with 100% accuracy. I mean, the Jewish people will be scattered throughout the earth. They'll be gathered back, and they'll come back to Jerusalem. All of these things that have come true, and how, you know, even today, with supercomputers, we cannot even predict human events 2 years in advance. But here is shepherds, ancient shepherds, and fig tree farmers, and they're speaking about human events 2,000 years later, only the Bible. So what God said, it's come true, it will come true, there's no question.
And it stands out, Jonathan, in the face of, you know, predictions, you can say in a sense, secular, prophetic, you know, messages from the likes of, you know, like an Al Gore or even Joe Biden and others who had predicted things. And as you know, in the Jewish culture, especially going back in the early days, there was quite the consequence if you became regarded as a false prophet, right?
Yeah, basically, you're stoned to death. You know, so there's a very high bar on this. You know, and of course, I mean, if someone says, "I think this is going to happen," that's one thing. Or they say, "Well, it could happen," that's one thing. But if they say, you know, it's going to happen, or God told me, then you better be careful. That's why I'm actually I've always been very careful. You know, I don't, you know, predict things. I don't think but I give warning about the biblical template from the Harbinger onward that is warning us of what's going to happen according to that template. You know, so we have to be really careful, but that shows you again how much the Bible, why the Bible is what it is, because it's got to be the Word of God or nothing.
Exactly. Well, Rabbi, you've taught me over the years since you and I have known each other, you know, to really take note of you know, seasons and times. There are points in our life and in our history where there are some moments are more important, more dramatic than others. And I believe we are here right now, and this is why your book, your series of books, all that you have been warning us about, is so critical and ties in to these now moments, because a now critical moment like today requires a now critical choice, does it not?
Yes. Yeah. The Lord is in, you know, all moments, and just like in our lives, there are times when, you know, there's key convergences, and we say, whoa, you know, the Lord, and we don't always see it. Sometimes when we see it, it's like the veil is lifted. We look, wow, you did this and this, and now I'm here. You know, and that is true also, as you said, in the world. Before 2019, before 2020 came, in the beginning of these shakings that we're still in, I was praying, and Lord, you know, what do you want me to write? What's the next book? And that's when I got, you know, this is the time of something I held off for 8 years. This is the time that it's the sequel to the Harbinger. It's the time to write it now, because what was in the Harbinger is going to continue, is going to be manifest this year. This is going to be a year of shaking, a year of dark events, and I shared this publicly before it happened. And that's why, and so in January of 2020, I started writing the book, and then about within two, three months, the shakings began. So I believe that's the reason I would not have released the Harbinger. I was sitting on this for years. I would not touch it until the Lord said. So I knew this. I just had this strong sense that this was going to be a year of prophetic significance, and not just a year, but we're not over. You know, we're
in the season,
a critical,
yes,
prophetic time. Absolutely.
Exactly. And as you say, the shaking will intensify over time, and this is what we see taking place. When you first told us that shaking, you know, the shaking was taking place. And, of course, we can go back just recently, 20 years ago, after 2001 with the shaking of 9/11. And, you know, it's up to us, people of faith especially. We're the ones that carry a deeper responsibility, because we know God's word and pattern. And all this is consistent with his character, is it not?
Yeah, the pattern, the template, and this is what first really started me. I mean, I had never written a book before the Harbinger. I knew I always had to, but it was that event where I saw so many things and coming together and matching up with a biblical template. This is about, you know, as you said, 20 years ago, and we have since that time, it has not stopped. I mean, not only the warnings, the Harbingers have not stopped, but but America's descent from God, its apostasy from God, has not stopped, which is following the course of in the last days of ancient Israel before judgment. So we have been in this. We have not been out of it. And, you know, there are times it manifests more dramatically, and there are times where you have grace periods. But right now, we're in that time. And, yeah, it says, you know, it says the sons of Issachar, they knew the times. You know, they knew what Israel should do. So we have to be like the sons of Issachar. We are prophetic people.
Exactly. We've got to take a quick break. We've got more from Jonathan Kahn after this. Stay with us.
This is sponsored by IBM. The FBI recently warned that nearly 60% of reported ransomware incidents between August and September 2020 involved K-12 schools, a 29% jump from the months prior. Yet nearly 60% of educators utilizing online learning say they have not received any new cybersecurity initiatives or training. IBM Security is working to rectify that with its new $3 million grant. The company will be partnering with 6 school districts to help better prepare them for the growing cyber attacks, including ransomware. Christopher Scott, Director of Security Innovation at IBM.
Ransomware attacks are quickly becoming the new snow day for our kids. We understand school districts have budget restraints that hinder their ability to properly prepare and train for these attacks. Unfortunately, the bad guys are also aware of this gap and see a chance to make a quick buck at the expense of our children's education. Our new program is focused on giving schools a fighting chance.
Schools can apply between February 4th and March 1st and will be selected to receive the grant based on their level of cybersecurity needs. Visit ibm.biz/security-grant.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.75 with a 1.98% APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.75 with a 1.98% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 1.75 with a 1.98% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding right now. Call 800-500-9. Number one hit, 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run, call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT, 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-787. An equal opportunity lender. Loan amounts 500,000 and greater. 1.45 discount points apply. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
The following is a paid announcement. The advertiser was paid a marketing fee for a digital campaign. Please make sure to review our disclaimer on our report page.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the unprecedented boom in the U.S. markets. Here's just one example of what you can get with your free subscription to the CB Industry Report. The legal cannabis market is making huge moves since the election, and the market is projected to grow to $47 billion by 2025. The companies that we've identified are set to disrupt this multi-billion dollar industry. Get your free subscription to the CB Industry Report now when you text the word NOW to 48542. Get this red-hot intelligence delivered directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word NOW to 48542. Text NOW to 48542. And don't get left behind in 2021, where unprecedented trading ideas for you to research are waiting. Text the word NOW to 48542.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Bill Martinez for We the People.
Mr. President, how can you place your left hand on the Bible, the Word of God, and then with your right hand sign laws into existence that war against His Word? How can you place one hand on the Word that ordains human life as sacred and in the image of God from conception, and then with the other hand sign laws into existence that will promulgate the killing of that human life, of those children? How can you invoke the name of God in your oath and lay your hand upon His Word, and then implement laws that will suppress the going forth of His Word, that will censor His Word and those who advance it? You plan to enact laws that will disregard the distinction between male and female, man and woman. Did not the warning of our first president involve that very thing? If we disregard the eternal rules of order that heaven itself has ordained, you plan to enact laws that will specifically neutralize the protection of religious freedom. You plan to strike down the Hyde Amendment so that more children will be murdered, and those Americans who recognize abortion as murder will be forced to support the act of murder with their taxes.
14 minutes before the top of the hour, we're back with you with best-selling author of the book Harbinger 2, all his other books, Oracle, Paradigm. I mean, and it started off with Harbinger, your first book, as you were sharing earlier, Jonathan. The first book that you wrote was Harbinger, and now here you are. God keeps pouring his revelation into your spirit, and thank God for you to be obedient and to, you know, write it down, because there's something powerful about that which is written, right?
Yeah, well, yes. I've been a pastor for years, Bill, and I never, you know, I shared, and people say, oh, this should be a book. I never did anything. And then, you know, and even after sharing the first message to the congregation, to Beth Israel, about the Harbinger, I never thought of a book. I just wasn't thinking, although I knew I was supposed to one day write books. But, I shared it, and people were saying, this has got to go forward. And I still didn't do anything until about 2 years later when it really I got a download from the Lord saying, this is what you have to write now. And when I wrote it, you know, it just, first of all, it just wrote itself. You know, it was the easiest thing I ever did. It was as if the book was writing every page. And then it just, you know, reached millions. So, I think that, and also it's there, you know, so people can go back and actually in the Harbinger, the first book, there's a chapter called Things to Come. And when I went back on it, and I'm not saying I know all these things, but the Lord is sovereign. And when I look back at it, I said, whoa, this is all happening now, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's also why it's written, you know, that it's there. You know, the Bible says, you know, write it down, the vision, make it plain, you know, it will come true at the point of time. Yep.
Yeah, without a doubt, and there it is. It's very well documented. Jonathan, what you continue to share with us is so powerful because, you know, as the Bible says, a people without vision will perish or cast off restraint or enter into a season or an era of chaos. And this is where we are right now, are we not? I mean, we're running all over the place like chickens with his heads cut off.
Yeah, the Lord is the Lord of God of order. And when you drive God out of your country, your culture, your public square, your civilization, or your life, what happens is you lose order. Things become disordered. Actually, one of the things in the original in the Harbinger, what I alluded to, Things to Come, it talks about the shakings that are going to come, and one of them is disorder or civil disorder, which we are seeing. And that's it. You know, at the beginning, you know, it says, you know, there was darkness, and God said, let there be light, and he, from the chaos, it was void, you know, it was void and dark, God brings order. So when we've driven God out, this is what we have right now, and it's a sign. I mean, America is in deep trouble. It's like the center is disappearing. You have extremes in every way. The unity is gone, and we are in a place we have never, in our lifetime, we have never, in fact, in the 20th century, except for the Civil War, we have never been there. And even the Civil War was a different kind of thing. We have like one thing, another thing. We are watching a disintegration, and there's much warning in this, and this is really, I believe, this is what, the Lord led me to warn from the beginning.
Yes, but what you can draw hope from is just like in that book of Genesis, what you're talking about is how darkness and that chaos had enveloped the earth. And as that chaos is enveloping the earth, just like then, now, it is the Spirit of God that's hovering over like a mother hen, hatching righteousness out and bringing order. This is a process. It's God's way of doing things, not our way. But it also, in the process, Rabbi, reminds us that we're not of this world. I mean, we're just sojourning, and this is all a temporary condition. But meanwhile, while we're here, we are given the option to co-labor with God Almighty himself on behalf of his ultimate grand purpose of all of us coming together, you know, glorifying him, being thankful, you know, for an awesome God, right?
Yeah, this is, you know, most of us came to the Lord, you know, not all but most have come to the Lord because there were dark times, you know, or there was some shaking in our life, or there was something that had to wake us up to say, hey, it's not okay as it is, you know. So that's true in our lives. That's also true in nations' lives and in the world's lives. So, yeah, God always, I mean, and every book, I don't know if people realize it if they've read the books, every book I've read always ends with hope. I mean, you know, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
the hope,
exactly.
And the darkness only magnifies the light, you know, in the sense that, you know, the candle in the daytime, you barely see it. The candle at night, it lights up the world. So, yeah, it makes things clearer. It makes it, for those who will rise to it. You know, so these are, yes, in many ways, you know, the most dramatic times. And it's the dramatic times like this, when there's all great darkness, that's what produces the great testimonies. You know, you know, Paul wouldn't, yes, be Paul in another time. You know, and I mean, he'd be someone else. You know, but you know, nor would Jeremiah or Ezekiel or Elijah. You know, they or Moses. You know, he had a Pharaoh. You know, so the very challenges are the things that give rise to greatness for those who will be great.
Rabbi, I'm taking a look at this radical agenda that's being thrust upon, which was once a free America. We seem to be losing our liberties rapidly here. So we have this radical agenda coming on the heels of the conclusion of the presidency of Donald Trump, and of course a riot on Capitol Hill. Can you reconcile, you know, these incidences and what they're telling us?
Yeah, there's a lot. First of all, what happened? I mean, we have to ask, as believers, you know, we have to condemn any form of hatred, any violence coming from hatred and that whole thing. And, you know, that was not any example, what happened on Capitol Hill, of what we are in the Lord, you know. And even if we have enemies, we pray for them and we love them. We speak the truth, you know, we have to speak the truth, and we have to be radical, you know, for this time ourselves. But we have to also do all things in love at the same time. So, you know, and you know, this is it, what happened. It was very significant. What happened there? It was really the marking of the end of one era, as you alluded to. And there's much to say that about Donald Trump and where that fits,
yes,
and where that's going.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was kind of like, you know, there is a there's been this division of America, and there's been more and more. That was like a culmination on the day that was going to seal, really, you know, politically the end of this era, this first era. You have this reaction this way, and now you have a reaction the other way, to use this from the left to stamp out religious freedom, to basically stamp out those who are supporting the president, the Republican Party, conservatives, and most importantly, believers. You know, so this is all. It was like a spiritual, ultimately a spiritual battle that was manifested in the world, but you know, in a million different ways and crazy ways, but that exploded on that day. And that is going to be affecting us for a long time, a long time.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, the signs or harbingers that you're seeing manifesting now, as you look for, you know, look forward through this year of 2021, what do you see, you know, coming about even more so? Go ahead.
Let me tell you, you know, what I saw at the beginning of the year. You know, Bill, at the beginning of the year, the beginning of things, it's called the principle of first fruits, you know. And what happens, meaning that what happens in the beginning determines the rest. And a few things I noticed before all this happened. One is that, you know, on the very first day of this new year, was when it came out, the news story came out that the in Congress, they're basically eliminating the words, you know, mother, father, I don't know if you remember that story, husband, right, wife, son, daughter, in any congressional, in any, you know, House of Representatives documents. I mean, crazy. That was the first thing. Then,
and of course, we had a man and a woman, right, too, on top of that.
That goes to the next thing, because then on the very first session of the new, you know, of the new Congress, of the new year, which was January 4th, you have that prayer, which amen, which is crazy. But on top of that, it was prayed, that prayer that opened up the new year, was prayed in the name of the god Brahma, a foreign god. He said, the god of India with four faces. So literally, instead of the god of the Bible, it was literally prayed in the name. It was opened up that way. And by the way, the guy who prayed it is, I mentioned him in the paradigm, because he also did something else that was prophetic in the paradigm. And this guy who did it.
Rabbi Jonathan Kahn, best-selling author of the book Harbinger 2, Harbinger 1, Paradigm Oracle, The Message. I mean, it goes on and on. Jonathan, you continue to richly bless us, and I cannot thank you enough. How can people be in touch?
Oh, thank you, Bill. To get in touch, touch. The ministry is hope of the world and sends out prophetic updates and all sorts of things, free gifts and CDs, and all my messages are there. Just remember that and just go to hopeoftheworld.org. It's hopeoftheworld.org. And any of the books, the Harbinger 2, and any book that you can get online from Amazon to at Christian Books and anywhere in a bookstore from Walmart even onward. But thank you, Bill. It's always a blessing and always a joy.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Do the letter.